When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. We have an outstanding episode for you this week. We have the legendary Bob Lee from ESPN on the podcast. It's really a great conversation with Bob, who shared so many great thoughts about the state of ESPN, journalism, got his thoughts on McAfee, Stephen A. Smith. And one of the reasons I wanted to have Bob on was to discuss the legacy of Chris Mortensen, who passed away last Sunday. So we spent a lot of time talking about Chris Mortensen and his time at ESPN and how generous he was with people there. So it's a great conversation with Bob Lee, who was at ESPN for 40 years before retiring 6 years ago. Following Bob, we have Sal Licata and Train of Thoughts, where we get into a bunch of topics with my buddy Sal. And that's the show. So it's a good one. If you're not a subscriber, please make sure you subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Would love it if you left a review on Apple as well. And if you missed any recent episodes, go into the archives, check them out. We had Greg Giannotti from the Boomer and Geo morning show on WFAN and CBS Sports Network on the show last week. Other recent shows were Super Bowl related. Jim Nance was on. So check those out if you missed any of those. And again, please subscribe and leave a review. All right. It's a great episode with the legendary Bob Lee from ESPN, followed by Train of Thoughts and Sal Licata. All right here, right now, on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, thrilled to have him, second time on SI Media with Jimmy Traina, and he is a legend in the sports media world, but retired, so we'll do a nice little check-in and do some remembering of Chris Mortensen, which is important to do this week. He is the legendary Bob Lee. Bob, thanks for joining me. How are you?
Jimmy, it's good to be with you. Yeah, retirement. Got up from my nap to tape this, so we're ready to rock and roll.
You're one of the few, I think, who have retired and stay retired. We have not seen you anywhere doing anything. It seems, you know, and in this day and age, people retire and then they get a podcast, or people retire and then they're doing social media nonstop. It seems like you've retired and disappeared.
Well, I retired, but I do a lot of stuff, things, activity, hopefully in a leadership role with as the founder of the Center for Sports Media at Seton Hall University. So we have a lot going on there. We just had Doris Burke in with Bob Picozzi. We had a couple of years ago, Alex Rodriguez spent an entire day on campus. Stephen A. has been kind enough to come to the campus twice, spend time with our students. We have a huge NIL panel in the works for April. So I may not be the traditional route, but we're working with students to get the next generation ready for a very different landscape.
Have you been pitched a podcast by any companies? I would imagine you could do.
A day after I retired, I was offered a position hosting a specific podcast on a daily basis. And I remember telling Phil DiPicciotto, my representative at the time, what part of retired didn't they understand? It sounded like a job. You know, and with some former colleagues, we looked at the whole podcast scene. I mean, I have to tell you, look, Spotify's laid off people left and right. Gladwell's company has, well, within the last 5-6 months, reduced its workforce by 30%. The podcast bubble has burst. And somebody told me the three rules of having a successful podcast: you have to have a famous host, you have to have a famous host, and you have to have a famous host. While others will tell you it's the content, it's having great storytelling. I don't know, but I was pitched, but we looked at it and decided not to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine you could do a hell of a podcast just on the history of SportsCenter. I mean, that alone could be a podcast.
Yeah, no, it would be. It would be fun. And on occasion, you know, I've gone on with Trey Wingo's podcast a couple of years ago. We told some stories and whatnot. Yeah, it's fun. There may well be a time and place to bring all those stories out from storage and dust them off.
Speaking of telling stories, I wanted to have someone on this week to discuss Chris Mortensen because he passed away on Sunday. The outpouring on social media was really tremendous to see. And there were just two themes. Great man, extremely generous and helpful. I think people pass. I think you hear a lot of times this was a great person. But what really sort of stood out to me was how many people spoke about his generosity and helping them in the business. Yeah. So I wanted, no one knows ESPN better than you. If you want to just give me something on your relationship with Chris and what people said about him, I'd love to hear it.
It was universal. The text and phone call network of those of us who knew Mort, and I didn't know him extremely well, but I did a lot of things with him, and we certainly had a relationship. And those of us on Sunday night, I mean, it was tough. Not totally unexpected, certainly. But Jimmy, you just said it universally. You know, he was the best reporter, but he was a better man. And that fact is the first thing that people will mention. Generosity with newbies, bringing them aboard. Jacina Anderson tells that story well. Generosity with Adam Schefter. Imagine you're Chris Mortensen. You have defined the form of network television sports at the time, basically ESPN, NFL information, and you've been doing it as the name brand. You are a generic term for it, Mort. And now the company's looking to bring aboard Adam Schefter. Those of us who worked or work in front of that red light have in our DNA a not very generous strain that can come to the surface. Protection, turf battles, insecurities. Nobody's more insecure than anybody who does what I did for a living, and I can speak from personal experience. And there was Chris Mortensen embracing, telling the company, yes, taking Mort out to a steak dinner with me. Anytime I tried to respect the boundaries of how busy he was in inviting him on Outside the Lines. But, you know, during that period when the NFL was, you know, exploding from a sport to an industry to a cultural force with all the problems and issues, you think back to 2014, that go with it, and you wanted some interpretation from someone, inviting him aboard. And if he couldn't make it, he would be very generous with his information. And yeah, we would credit it. But I think back, I guess about 15 or 16 years, my appendix burst. I ended up at St. Francis Hospital for a week. No big deal, but in the hospital for a week, and people were very kind and generous to reach out. Mort's the guy that wrote me and said, "Bob, you know, I've heard about this, that, and the other thing. I'm saying a prayer for you." And I don't know if anybody's ever said that to you, Jimmy, but it's the most humbling thing in the world. It's itself is a curative act, a healing moment, and it shows you where Chris's faith was in his life and how he shared it, not ostentatiously, but sincerely. And I'll always remember that.
Yeah, the part about helping others, and you mentioned Schefter, it sounds like he didn't just help. It sounds like he went above and beyond help.
Yeah. He did. I mean, I can't get down into the nuts and bolts of the reporting of exactly what he shared. But he was one of those guys, and our culture at the time, and may it still be the case, and I think it is to a large extent, was that the product mattered. Yes, now it's more front-facing, personality-driven, but the product matters. And so, yeah, he was always willing to share, willing to help, and generous.
You know, I wrote something on Monday when I heard of Chris Mortensen's passing. I don't know why, but I instantly thought of, I mean, I guess because I'm older now and I'm always thinking about the quote unquote good old days and how it's all changed. And, you know, I people today, if they're under 30 maybe, and they've had their whole lives with the internet, they don't know that era when, I know for me, it was all about Chris Mortensen and Peter Gammons. That was it. Right. On ESPN, that's when a trade broke, a coach got fired, or, you know, there was a potential free agent signing. When you saw Chris Mortensen and Peter Gammons on ESPN, like, there was a rush because you knew you were getting this inside information. You felt like you were on the inside because of what they were telling you. It's media's changed obviously so much now that, you know, everyone's out there throwing out information, whether it's real or not. But I for some reason, I immediately thought of Mortensen and Peter Gammons in that era. You were probably anchoring a lot of times when those guys would come on and break a story. Gotcha. I mean, that had to be also a rush for you having that come on the air and
my gosh, breaking news. To be able to go on the air with Peter or Mort and know that you're not getting it from any better place. Accuracy, right. Not just the facts, but why and what, the context. You know, the shades, the coloring that go into a story, which is where I was always fascinated. Okay, we have a trade, or we have a firing, or we have a trend, or we have a new offer in the labor negotiation. But what does that mean? And those guys could offer you. I mean, you know, you mentioned Peter Gammons, and Peter kind of was the first really to cross over from print to TV. And I think John Walsh had a lot to do with recognizing that potential and bringing Peter over. And one of Peter's colleagues at that Murderers Row lineup at the Boston Globe back in the 70s, where my very good friend Vince Doria was the sports editor, Don Squire was the assistant sports editor, and Will McDonough was there. And Will really was the first guy to cross over from NFL, from print to television, working at NBC. And I just saw an account just today of how Mort himself went to Will. And, you know, how's this TV thing working out? And Will said, it doesn't matter what you look like. It matters what you say. And that is true. You know, you talk about that period of time when if you were to see Bob or Dan or Keith sitting with Peter or Mort and something was happening. I mean, that gets back to a time when ESPN just didn't have viewers. It had fans. It was unique to the culture. There were fewer platforms. Your phone, you didn't have a flip phone yet, probably. Right. You gathered around the electronic hearth and every 11 o'clock at night, the gathering place for 6 p.m. in the evening for SportsCenter. Now, of course, that whole paradigm has blown up, but it's what a testament to Mort's contributions and his stature professionally, that even as this entire landscape has been reshaped by different priorities and firings and hirings and acquisitions and uncertainty and whatnot, he still reigns supreme as the brand name.
Yeah.
And as the guy to shoot for. I mean, that's quite a testament.
Yeah. Peter King, who just retired as well, obviously, has his own legacy. He had a great.
My gosh, and the irony of the timing of Peter retiring the same week that Chris passes, of course, got lost on that. Yeah.
He had a great anecdote about, I didn't realize how deep the relationship was between Mort and Peyton Manning. And Peyton gave the scoop to Mort that he'd be retiring, and he asked him to hold off on a day. And I thought Peter did a great job with that, which, you know, the fact that Peyton Manning came out as strong as anyone to talk about Mort and their relationship and what Mort was like. I thought that was very interesting this week that I learned.
But also the fact that after giving Mort the story, saying that was going to go down, I think Peyton went back to Mort and said, can you hold it a day?
Yeah.
I just want to get with my family. I want to make sure everyone's informed on the inside. And there's Mort sitting with, you know, the story of the month, at least the national headline of the moment. And he's in treatment at that moment for cancer, and dealing with all that goes with that. And that's considerable. And Mort under pressure with his editors, not malevolent pressure, but competitive pressure. You know all about that. So can we go with this guy? No, I told Peyton I'd wait another day. He's asked me to wait to notify his people, and a man of his word. And you don't find that universally, but your reputation is established over years, can be broken in a moment. And in that moment, he kept his word and with a huge story, and waited a day, and it was still his story the next day.
It we've talked so much about sort of how news was broken back in those days before the internet, before social media. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you as well about just how the media game has changed. It's, you know, I think it changed when you were still around and then you retired. It's been 6 years now.
And I took a sabbatical in 18. Retired actually in 19. Yeah, I'm astonished how long it's been. But yeah, it's been that long.
Right. So I feel like it was 2018, you retire, and it was obviously changed by then. And then I think there was sort of another change after COVID, and now we're in this other place where, I don't know, for me, it seems like it's quantity over, you mentioned personality more than reporting these days. And it's also, I think, quantity over quality. Do you, when you see how it's changed, do you think to yourself, I'm glad I got out when I did? Any regrets about when you got out, or you think you did it at the perfect time? And how does this current state of media fit into all that in your thinking?
That's a great question. And I've had so many people say to me, God, you are so smart. Your timing was exquisite. You knew exactly when. Mm-hmm. I left overwhelmingly for personal reasons. It was just time to turn the page. The effort and sacrifice required to do the job at the level I wanted to do it at and felt I was doing it at was such that it was just time for something different for a variety of reasons in my life. But it has changed. The big stories will happen. They'll bubble up. Those stories, that'll conflate sports with business, sports with culture and industry or whatever, something globally. And you'll say, damn, I'd like a piece of that story today. I'd like to have a half hour back. First off, it's not going to happen because the economics of the situation, don't lend itself to an outside the lines daily television program. And by the way, what's daily television, but analog television, that's gone into the universe, it's got but the point is, yeah, you could come back and have that story today. And then tomorrow's Tuesday, and then tomorrow's Wednesday, and then you're back into doing the things that just accumulate. I'm not going to be one of those guys like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, sitting on my front lawn, telling get off my lawn, as an old. The changes are what the changes are. The changes are market driven changes, and so there's you can't blame anybody for it. I've those that cross my paths who would say, oh, you must be ticked off at what happened, what's going on where you used to be. I said, you got it all wrong. I said, we established something that is probably, I feel so lucky. I'm in the team picture of the 27 Yankees. I said, if you ask yourself, what's the most significant cultural force in American culture in the last 125 years, you can make a strong case that ESPN is that or very close to it with the establishment and the profligation of the sports entertainment industry. You can throw Nike in the National Football League. But what we created, so much when us old farts get together for lunch or Zoom calls or funerals, we tell great stories, and I think we reflect on the good times. And those that want to say what's going on is different. Of course, what's going on is different now. ESPN is a different. It has to be. All of the circumstances are different. One of the first things I did when I retired was call 1-800 cable company and cut the cord. I mean, I remember in the days when we.
You just opened Pandora's box right there. I can do a whole podcast with you about that now. Now you've got me distracted by that revelation.
If you said a la carte in the hallways of Bristol back in the mid-teens or early teens,
right.
You taken outside and shot without a court martial, because the idea was no, we're pushing it all out there. Now, of course, the race is on: is how do you skinny bundle or how do you direct to consumer and ESPN. BN has got to contend. Now you've got that joint venture app that's coming out. I have the greatest of admiration for the people still running the company who are inventing new ways, who are tasked with conceiving of revenue streams and price points and strategies that work in a situation. Look, no, go back to when you alluded to it. I mean, 8 years ago, seven, eight years ago, what will 2024 look like? Nobody could have predicted we'd be in this situation where it's all on your phone, but digital television is dying in front of our eyes. Bob Iger, even though he says something different lately, has talked openly and least in the last 7 or 8 months, about selling a lot of some of those assets. Those particular assets are in a, you know, they're in a bunker mode. Nobody could have predicted any of that.
Sports
is the only thing
television
that
alive. Yeah,
it's exactly. Crazy. The only thing with a dash of Taylor Swift thrown away. But yes, sports is the only way you can bring people together in front of the TV set to do. You can't do it with an election because everyone's watching their own cable network and with their own point of view, shaking their fist at different people for different reasons. Sports is it, which is why these new platforms, these apps and these negotiations that are going to unfold are so critical. And, you know, they hold the key to the success or lack of success for some of these companies.
Yeah, it's such a just juxtaposition because on one hand, you feel like everything's just dying. You know, mega companies don't work anymore. Journalism, people don't want to pay for journalism. I mean, even Peter King said words not profitable. But the money that the networks make from sports, the money that sports get from networks, the rights fees are through the roof in a way you can't even imagine. The NBA will probably get God knows what, and they'll all splinter off into streaming services. So the business and the money of it are still there, but there's the other parts seem so damaged. It's a bizarre time, at least for me.
I mean,
that's how I look at it.
Last night I spoke BJ Schechter, our executive director at the
worked with him for many years.
Great man and a good friend. And he and I co-hosted a webinar for approximately 200 prospective students at Seton Hall and their parents. And we had a great time. And the one word that I kept coming back to for these young aspiring professionals, be they journalists or just technicians or just an interest in the Center for Sports Media, the one word was opportunity. I mean, if the smartest people in the room couldn't predict what today would be like 7 or 8 years ago, if you're starting college now, man, the world is your oyster. Take it and run with it. Take the skills, and there are classic skills. You're going to have some basic technical knowledge. You have to certainly know how to communicate and write. You have to have that work ethic. From that point forward, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. So you have an opportunity. Nothing's guaranteed. So it is an exciting time. I'm a dinosaur in many ways, but like no one's going to work 40 years and retire with a 401k like I did at a right. It ain't going to happen.
Right, right. That's true.
So
that is true.
As those aspiring to go into the field, you know, recognize that, like, you know what it was like when you started out in the industry. There used to be those industrial pieces of wisdom, like you got to stay in a job for a year so it looks good on your end. Well, the hell you do. Yeah. I mean, people have 2 and 3 jobs and they're basically couch surfing their way through cities looking at different opportunities. It's an exciting time. You're out there on the wire without a net sometimes, but when you're young, you can have that opportunity and take those chances.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, there are people who make a living just from social media, something that didn't exist, you know, for many years.
Well, you're one of the great influencers.
I don't know about great. I would say I'm mediocre.
I know which handbag to buy and which perfume. I mean, I know who to look up.
Mediocre influencer at best. I want to continue on this, but let me backtrack for 1 second because you had said earlier, I didn't want to interrupt you, but you said earlier, every now and again, a story will come up and you say you wish you had 30 minutes to dig into that. Give me an example of something recently. That you would love to get 30 minutes on.
I mean, even something as silly as the MLB uniform snafu. or at the other end of the continuum of seriousness, NFL politics. The way the NFL decided to stage manage, for example, the Super Bowl. The marriage of Taylor Swift and the NFL. The way that Roger Goodell's press conference was moved to what was it, Monday?
Yes.
Was it 4 in Monday?
Invite only.
Exactly. I mean, We did a panel on this at Seton Hall about 10 months ago on the cultural impact of the National Football League. And it's, I mean, it's astonishing. Things such as that, you like a taste of it. As I said, then comes Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and say, wait a minute, I'd rather be watching playing with my granddaughters.
You also get that message like, hey, Bob, you know, we have a partnership with the NFL. Not sure we need you criticizing Roger for having an invite-only press conference.
Well, it's, yeah, you know, you're not criticizing if you state the facts. If the facts are the facts,
right?
They're stubborn things.
Right.
Listen, what the National Football League has accomplished and is in the process of accomplishing, hegemony. I mean, it's going international. You know, it's got fewer, the NFL ownership has fewer members than the College of Cardinals. And U.S. senators and just as much power, it seems.
And what would you want to get into about the MLB uniforms? Because it is I love that has been the biggest story of spring training, that sport. I love baseball. I feel bad for baseball. Yeah. I mean, you know, we talked about Gammons earlier. I remember when I was in high school, we had a local candy shop, stationery store, whatever you call it. I would go there on Sundays and spend $5 for the Boston Globe on Sundays just to read
Gammons. Notes column, right?
Exactly. And now the sport has fallen to a place where the biggest story is see-through uniforms.
And you have to ask yourself, give me the roster of people who are in the room, companies who are in the room, physically or metaphysically, how could this happen? And all against the rubric of, it's so baseball. I mean, I love the sport.
Right.
I love sports so much. I love soccer, but I really love baseball. I'm a Mets fan. Pardon me, please.
Are you excited about the dance team this year?
Are you telling me the Mets have a dance team?
That story broke over the last couple of days. They will be they will have a dance team this year.
Okay.
I love that I'm breaking this news to you.
Thank you. Oh Lord. Listen, if just you know, okay. But you know, I stay in touch with Rio Gomez, son of Pedro, who was a hell of a pitcher, pitched in AAA last year, is now this year in Taiwan, got a very nice contract offer in Taiwan, and he and I text back and forth. TJ Quinn and I stay in touch with him, and he's hoping to it's a highly scouted league. You know, here's an American who picked up and just went, couldn't get a particularly attractive AAA contract this year. It's going to, between Taiwan and Korea, hopefully establish his name. I mean, you know, and I asked him, I said, do they have PitchCom over there? He said, no, but, you know, people, we string together enough English. We get it. And some guys have played minor league ball in the States. And, you know, the fact that of all places on the other side of the earth, there's a kid from Arizona with baseball coursing through his blood, throwing his off-speed stuff at age 28, still trying to make it and pitching well. Yeah, that's a great story. And it makes me want to feel about it. And I don't know if Rio's team in Taipei, the defending champions, by the way, I don't know if they have a dance team.
Well, it's just the Mets right now.
We can hope. A man can dream.
Yeah. Oh, baseball, you got to love it. I noticed, you know, whenever I have a guest, I always go check their Twitter feed just to see what they're talking about, what they're into for potential topics. I noticed you have no tweets up and you're not following everyone, but your account is still there. What's going on with Bob Lee and
Twitter? Is my account there?
It's blank, but it's there.
Then it's, do me a favor, send me a link later because it was corrupted and a mess, and I had somebody trying to help me, and it became more trouble than it was worth.
Oh, and so, really?
Yeah, and I'm not alone in that. A number of people I know, yeah, you got hacked in. People were tweeting in your name. It got ugly. I had somebody who was helping me at Twitter on the inside, you know, clean that up each time. But you know, 80% of that company has turned over in the last 15 months or so. So it's amazing how much simpler life can be when all you do is do a little bit of lurking on Facebook, on the WSOU, my old radio station, and ESPN Old Timers page. And I think my life is fuller for it.
Absolutely. If it's important,
I mean, you know how to get in touch with me. If somebody, you know, people need to get in touch with me, then they can figure it out.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking here. It says, at Bob Lee ESPN. Your bio says ESPN retired. Joined in March 2019. You have 176,000 followers. You're not following anyone, and you have no tweets up. So the account is there if you want to send something out and say hello to everyone.
Yeah. Probably the first thing I'll tweet is, did you know the Mets have a dance team?
That would be perfect. That would be perfect.
Absolutely. Be right in tone with Twitter or X.
And then I can retweet it and say, and I broke the news to Bob on the SI Media podcast. Yeah, so tell me, this is why I asked you about Twitter. From this conversation, you seem on top of everything. You seem to know everything that's going on. And I'm just curious. You said you cut the cord. I saw you aren't active on Twitter. I'm just wondering how you're getting your information, like what the day-to-day and information gathering is for you, because you seem like you're on top of everything.
Well, subscribe online to a lot of papers. You have to keep an eye on that, because that can get expensive in a hurry. A lot of good blogs, Axios, for example, I particularly like, I think Kendall Baker does a great job at Yahoo in the morning. It's a great one-stop shopping, those guys at Yahoo Sports. If among the more important decisions you make, I think, is setting your alert notifications for your phone, so that when something happens, I'll pop into that, or I'll forget about that. So, you know, I need to stay somewhat current for my work at the university, and it's helpful, but it's nice to, you know, to do it at a distance. But there are some, you know, palm to forehead moments, like you can't believe things that are happening. Right. But then a lot of that's political, and I'm not alone in that.
I think it's, I feel like those of us in it right now, we're sort of, you know, we're going about our day to day and we're dealing. I don't think people understand the insanity that's going to happen in November of this year. Everyone's going to be affected. Like you can sit there and say, stick to sports or, you know, I don't do, but I think we're in for some, and I'm not saying on either side who wins, who loses.
I know exactly what you're saying.
We're in for something we've never seen before, I think. And we've seen a lot in the last 4 to 8 years.
That's true. But I also think this is true. I think that guys like you and me and people who are on podcasts and host podcasts and read blogs and write blogs, you take the whole pie of American culture. It's a small slice. Most people haven't dialed in yet on this.
Right.
And that's always been the case in politics. And even though it's March now, and it, you know, it will increase month by month. But so I don't think most people have really dialed in and focused.
Yep.
But you're right. It's going to be something. And I hate the word perspective, because it's so overused, and it's like the word interesting. It's a lazy word that you use when you can't conceive of a better one. But you know, sports will be put in perspective as we get later in the year. As you look at, is democracy imperiled, or is that just an overstatement? Is this a true choice people have? But I think the gross population of people who are really paying attention now, I don't think it's as large as the people who watch Rachel Maddow and Fox want you to believe.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I think the sports world's going to try to be super focused on not getting involved in it. And I think it's going to be almost impossible in some level because of the anarchy that will take place. But, you know, ESPN has had to sort of, I think it's been so overblown and so overrated, the sort of ESPN and politics thing. I don't think it's as bad as everyone, you know, makes it out to be. But obviously, things have changed there a lot. There's two people at ESPN I'd love to just hear what your thoughts are, because they're always in the news and for various reasons. The first is, well, let's stay with this, with Stephen A, because Stephen A has a separate podcast from ESPN where he does tons of politics. And he's doing more. He's on Fox News. He's on MSNBC. When you see that, are you surprised at all that ESPN allows it? Do you think ESPN doesn't have a choice and they can't sort of restrain Stephen A because his show is successful in the morning and First Take? What do you make of Stephen A being able to do whatever he wants.
I think that Jordan rules, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, it's and he's earned the right. And the speculation is, will he be the first $20 million man? A guy, I hope he is. God bless him. I mean, he's earned everything he has. I remember when Stephen A. was kind of like North Korea back for a while in the early 90s. He was in and out of favor. He had the talk show, then he wasn't with us, and he rejoined us. And he and Skip would come on Sunday morning sports centers and do this thing called Old School, New School that I would kind of referee. And I'd see Stephen, we'd have him on the show. And this was before, as he was becoming Stephen A. Smith in the national mindset. And I remember telling him, I said, boy, every time I turn the TV on, I see you. I said, that is great. I said, but the most important word that you can have in your vocabulary sometimes is that two-letter word, no. Just so that you're appreciated a little bit more and you're not taken for granted. But his work ethic is supreme.
Absolutely.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. I consider him a friend. I think he does the same. He's been generous to our program at Seton Hall. If I needed him, I could get him, with him within a reasonable amount of time. And I think that, yeah, of course, ESPN realizes he is the signature face. And the rules are what the rules are for Stephen. Some of the stuff that came out recently, who was he talking about on the podcast? It got a little crude for my taste. But then society has gotten crude. I mean, the polite discourse, you're seeing. I was watching CNN the other night. They had a political documentary on in prime time. And, we can say these words, the words bullshit and everything but the F word was being thrown around by Jake Tapper and by his guests on Bleep. I said, okay, those are the new rules. Some of it goes back to the Trump administration when the New York Times was faced with having to print the F word in the third paragraph of page one. That's where we're at. So,
yeah. And I mean, the word bullshit is, that's a nothing compared to what we see on a daily basis in the political world. Yeah, it seems,
but we all have our built-in filters from coming up in the industry and, it's like you just tense up and, I don't know how I would react under new rules.
Right.
I probably retreat under.
Speaking of new rules and naughty words, the other, I guess, big storyline at ESPN was the hiring of Pat McAfee. And full disclosure, I like Pat. He's been on here once. And I've been sort of surprised by the narrative of he's so anti what ESPN would do, and this is like a new thing for ESPN, and he replaced SportsCenter. Because if it goes back to what we talked about earlier with the state of the business changing, the state of sports media changing, ESPN has to evolve as well. So to me, it made sense they would get in bed with Pat McAfee.
Absolutely.
Pat's alluded to, he obviously called out Norby Williamson, called him a rat, said he tried to sabotage the show. But there's been rumblings that like the old school ESPN, which many people would think is you, not you specifically in this instance, but has a problem with Pat on ESPN. So I'd love to get your thoughts on the Pat McAfee ESPN marriage.
Look, the McAfee hire made all the sense in the world for Jimmy and his management team and his leadership. As Jimmy, said, this is a guy that his son, who was a teenager, I think, is attracted to, and Jimmy himself finds interesting. And so you cross that divide, which is magical in the current environment that you can pull from those different audiences. It's out of the box thinking. Everyone's, and I'm sure you've reported this, have $85 million. Well, that's the lump sum over X years to the production company to bring a show. So, he's not sticking that in his hip pocket every year. People who want to get exercised about all of that, the shows that got moved to the side for the change happens. It's inevitable and you have to adapt. What I just found disquieting was the stuff calling out individuals by name, including one that I've known for 40 years who has always dealt with me honestly and forthrightly. And I don't know all these incidents, but I think Pat's a smart guy, and I think he's better than his less than great moments that we've seen. And we'll see. You know what's going to determine? It's the marketplace. At the end of the day, there's going to be a, you know, the two most important words in the American lexicon, Jimmy, are stock price. And so if, you know, the program is delivering and it's worth its weight in expenses, it works. If it doesn't, next good idea.
Right, right.
So yep, I'm not going to shake my fist and say I shouldn't. No, you've got to expand your thinking. You've got to do different things.
I think McAfee's a great example, too, of how you just don't judge by the TV ratings anymore because of his presence on social media. And on top of that, the guests he gets on a daily basis is ESPN must be over the moon with who they get on their air every day.
Yeah.
With the guest list there. I want to just wrap it up with hearing about retirement, but I just want to say one more thing about ESPN, which I find interesting. And it's all across sports, actually. You know, we've talked about McAfee. We've talked about Stephen A. We've talked about the changes in sports media, ESPN changing, all of sports media changing. And the amazing thing is, all these years later, the number one show still on ESPN is PTI with Wolbon and Kornheiser. And I feel like it doesn't get, and I'm guilty of this too, because I write about McAfee and Stephen A, and I don't really write about those guys that often. But it's pretty remarkable that that's still, PTI is still doing what it does.
A show born of the banter around the water cooler. Yeah. In the Washington Post newsroom. And I think it's, I mean, and that there's such an emotional reaction to, for example, Lee Corso putting on the
mascot.
Same mascot, thing. Yeah. You know, wait, we're catering. We need these teenage, we need the millennials, we need the gen. And these figures who are provoking such a response are how old and who are they? And it's because they're relatable in doing their jobs. Tony and Mike are, you couldn't. They're ones of a kind, I love them both. I was honored to go into the Sportscasters Hall of Fame with Tony a few years ago. It was an honor to be with him.
All right, let's wrap it up with this. You retired from ESPN 6 years ago, 40 years in the business. Do you watch less sports, same amount of sports, more sports now than 6 years ago?
Less. Just because I mean, the options for streaming entertainment are there. I ain't staying up as late. I've got other responsibilities and the things going in my life. And it's not because I don't, I mean, I was watching the Yankees and the Mets preseason game before I popped onto this.
Yeah.
So I have some addiction flowing through my veins in that regard, but no. If it's important, I'll find it, but I'm selective.
So you said you cut the cord. So what is your setup now for viewing television?
YouTube TV.
YouTube. That's the one everyone says. I'm still a cable guy, but everyone says it. YouTube TV.
Yeah. YouTube TV. And then, you know, you try and limit how many streaming services you want, but then you and your wife say, well, they got this and they got this and they got this. And pretty soon it's probably what your cable bill was anyway. Exactly. But at least you have agency over it and you can come and go as you please. But like, no, it's...
Did you sign up for Peacock when the NFL put a playoff game on there?
I was already on there for the EPL.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. But 100... $50 million for one game. I mean, that shows you vividly what the stakes are here for everybody.
Oh yeah. Well, the NFL, I mean, they can do what they want. They run the whole show basically these days. It's fascinating to see. There's nothing. You know, people were outraged about that Peacock game. I will be shocked if there aren't two streaming playoff games next year.
Yeah.
I know they already have one with Amazon, but you got to imagine Paramount Plus will get one or Peacock. I mean, it's just the way it's going to go.
And sitting up in a leather binder at the top shelf in the back, I'm being metaphorical here, of course, sitting on a disk drive, is the projections, the math, and the risks of what it would be to have a pay-per-view Super Bowl. What are the costs?
Makes me feel good that Goodell said at that invite-only Monday session that we talked about earlier, he said not during his time, so... I'm going to take him at his word for that and not get worked up over it, because that will make me, you know, listen, here's the thing. We can rant, rave, go crazy. They put a Super Bowl on pay-per-view. We're all going to watch it.
Yeah. And we'll figure out, you know, we're all coming to your house.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's how it'll work. That's how it'll work. Absolutely. Bob, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. Enjoy retirement. What is there, like, are we golfing? Do we do tennis, pickleball, anything during the day that we've picked up in retirement? What are we doing?
I'd like to pursue a little bit of photography.
Nice.
Four granddaughters keep us very, very busy. From, we have a home in the Northeast. We have a home in a warmer climate, going back and forth in that regard. And again, the work that BJ Schechter and I are doing at Seton Hall, very important. And we'll send you a bus ticket. Come on over, and we can talk about it.
Would love to check it out. Would love to check it out. Right. I appreciate you doing this. Thank you for coming on, and stay well. Thank you. All right, joining me now, as he does every week, for our Train of Thoughts segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how's it going?
Pretty good. Good to be joined with you here on this day, recording this great podcast.
I feel like this is our first time doing like our normal thing. Like, we had Greg Giannotti joined us last week, who was a guest. And I think the week before I took off, the week before I think you couldn't do it. So it's like a traditional Train of Thoughts. Here we go.
Which I like, but it also feels different this week because we just hung out on Sunday, was it, or Saturday?
Sunday
at Maureen's, which was fantastic. I had a really nice time there, so that was fun.
If you're from Long Island, you know the legendary Maureen's Kitchen, the best breakfast / brunch, even lunch place on Long Island. If you're not from Long Island and you're in the tri-state area, it's worth a trip. So Sal and I did a little breakfast on. The best part of that was you turned to me all serious at one point, as if I had just found out from a doctor that I had some kind of disease or something. And you just go, "How are you holding up without football?" The concern, the way you said it. It was like, you know, you just found out I had, you know, I don't know, like 6 months to live. You're like, how are you holding up without football?
Yeah, I know how you feel about it. Well, we're meeting up on a Sunday morning. I know Sundays are wide open.
Yep. And the funny thing is, so here's how I'm doing without football. On Sunday, it was, I don't know, 6 o'clock, maybe 7 o'clock. And I'm like, you know, the day's winding down. I'm like, let me see what's going on in the NBA. I'll do a little dabbling maybe. And I see the Knicks are playing the Cavaliers at 7 o'clock on ESPN. I'm like, all right. So just for like shits and giggles, I put together some like stupid, crazy, like 5-leg parlay of like player points and rebounds. And one of the wagers in the parlay was over 25 points for Jalen Brunson, who got injured 30 seconds into the game. So I go on Twitter and I send a tweet to DraftKings saying, "Please refund all Jalen Brunson bets." Do you know I had to mute like a dozen people because they were like, well, first of all, I am like, my muting is that I probably mute 10 to 25 people a day. And that's, wow. I'm at the point, if you send me any tweets disagreeing with me, I mute you. That's basically where it's at. And if you, and the people who send me tweets to tell me that they dislike things I like, automatic mute. So I'll get back. So I said, now, first of all, I was like half kidding. And really my point of the tweet was, I am anti sports books giving out refunds. I don't like it. I've been on Twitter saying that, but they've done it. They've opened Pandora's box. So my thing is, if you've opened Pandora's box and you've done refunds for wagers here and there because of things like that, like I think they refunded all the Aaron Rodgers props when he got hurt 4 plays into the season. So then why can't you refund Jalen Brunson? I didn't expect them to do it. It was, the tweet was like half in jest, but half of like, look what you guys started. And I got tweets from people, so disappointed that you would think this way. Would you feel this way if you bet the under? This is amateur thinking. I thought you were, you know, you knew about bet. And I was just like, mute, mute, mute. If you're going to tweet me, I'm just. So, but the point is, these sports books were the ones who started with the refunds. So to me, that's the issue with starting it. If you do it here and there, that's what's dangerous. Either do it all the time or don't do it at all.
Yeah, and I think it would be good business to. Now, I'm not condoning it, you make a bet, you lose, suck it up. But I think it is interesting business to open it up and say, you know what, he got screwed under those circumstances. Like, he's out on the first offensive play, less than a minute in. I'll at least take that leg off the parlay or whatever, or refund, you know, check that bet as a wash. You don't have to cash it out as a winner, but just make it a wash.
So since I'm on this topic, let me just say this. If you send me a tweet to tell me that you don't like Mad Dog, Howard Stern, Sal, wrestling, I'm going to mute you, and then I'm never going to see any of your tweets. So don't bother. Like, it's a complete way. Anytime I tweet about Dog, I get people saying, like, wasn't he supposed to retire? Mute, mute. Like, if you're that dumb, if you're so dumb to think the guy's going to walk away from making, like, $3 million a year to be on sports, like, I'm just going to mute you. So, like,
Can I ask you a question? Why not just take it a step further and not read the comments anymore?
Because I'm not going to... I mean, I would say I probably, I want to read the comments so I know who to mute. There you go.
Because I've done this, and I started out blocking people. Then I was like, you know, whatever, let's unblock and mute. And then I'd see some comments, and I'm just like, geez, like, some of the stuff could be very bad and nasty.
Well,
and
I think some of the good comments, like,
there
boats.
Is some good back and forth, but
here we go.
It just gets to a point where it's not even worth reading it. And I feel bad for the nice people in the mentions that I would like to interact with. I just don't even do it anymore. And it's, to me, the best thing that I've done is just barely, if at all, read the comments.
I think I froze for a minute, and I kept saying, here we go. So if that's what people heard, that's why I've had major issues here.
What's going on?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I can't figure out. I generally get okay mentions, and I think you get way more vitriol than me the way you're talking about it. I'm not getting a ton of vitriol. I'm getting stupidity.
Right. Well, annoyance. I get that. Yeah. I get stupidity and vitriol because I give strong opinions. So people don't like what I say, and then whatever.
Right. Like, if I'm tweeting out, here's a funny clip of Mad Dog, I don't need you to tell me, oh, wasn't he supposed to retire? Like, if that's your reaction, then I can't deal with you.
Just stupid. Right.
But I do get, you know, I got a couple of, Paul Heyman, who's going to be on this podcast in a couple of weeks, they announced that he's going into the WWE Hall of Fame. And I tweeted that. So someone said, like, someone tweeted me and said, who should induct Heyman? And I said, and I was being totally 1000% serious, that Heyman should induct Heyman, because nobody could do it better and it would be a classic moment. And then someone replied on Twitter and said, Christopher Vancherry wrote, I could see that. My name is Paul Heyman, and I'm here today to induct Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame. Let me tell you about Paul. The place would go nuts. So I get a good response like that. My faith is a little bit restored in Twitter. But then when I get like, don't you know wrestling's fake, then I have to mute you.
Right. I get it. So. what do you mean it's fake?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, since we're talking about wrestling, let me just say this. The A&E series are back on Sunday nights. They do Rivals and Biography. This Sunday they had Macho Man versus Jake the Snake for the rivalry episode, and then the biography was Sergeant Slaughter. Must see. If you're an old school WWF fan around Sal's age, my age, you've got to DVR these or on demand, however people watch crap these days. It's so good. It's so good. The Macho Man Randy Savage one, they do a whole like 10 minutes on when Jake the Snake Roberts snake bit Randy Savage. And I always thought like it was like not fake. I always thought it was like they rigged the snake or they did something with the camera work. Like, I know the snake actually really bit him. And they go into how like Savage got sick after that. It's crazy.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I gotta watch that. I saw you tweet about it, and then BT, my radio partner, just brought that up, and I was like, oh man, I gotta watch this. Specifically about that. I mean, that's my wheelhouse.
Water. Exactly.
I mean, I'd watch it, but like whatever. I'm more late. I don't remember early Sergeant Slaughter. I remember when he came back and you know, fought Hogan and beat the Warrior, whatever. But Savage and Jake the Snake is in my prime fandom. Right.
And when that happened, I was at the age where I knew it wasn't real, quote unquote. But I remember, like, WWE, like, they censored out the snake bite. And I was like, ooh, yeah, maybe something, maybe it is real. You know, like, but then I'm like, but no, it's fake. I thought, like, they were using the camera work because the snake really wasn't biting Savage. And they didn't, but he actually bit him. He started bleeding. Like, you got to watch it. It's so good.
There's two censored moments that I think of from that era. The one would be the snake biting Savage. Do you remember the other one? Actually, there's two that I think about, and then two additional.
No, I can't wait to hear this.
Outlaw Ron Bass taking his spur to Beefcake's face. And then I'm pretty sure there was another one. That was the second one that I would think of. Wasn't there one with the earthquake doing the earthquake to Jake Snake Damien in the bag?
Oh, did they blur that out? I'd have to go back and check that. That's tremendous.
I think that they did. Those I definitely remember Outlaw Ron Bass cutting Beefcake with the spur or whatever was censored out with that X, that big red X.
It's so funny because everyone loved the Attitude Era, and I think everyone wants WWE be the Attitude Era, where it was just like, you know, rated R, and they did whatever they wanted, and now it's... But, like, the real great era was that era of the 80s, where, like, you had the characters, and... But they're on a roll. I mean, they've got...
I ate that stuff up as a kid. Loved it, lived it. Yeah. I mean, I still enjoy watching... the older stuff, any of those documentaries, but even just the events, like the main pay-per-views or Saturday Night Main Event, putting it on as background noise, it takes me back to as a kid where I ate it all up. I loved it.
Yeah. And they're on a roll now. I mean, they've got gold right now with The Rock back. He's like, the numbers they generate on social media for those segments are, do you know The Rock on Friday posted a 20-minute Instagram/Twitter video like bashing Cody Rhodes?
20 minutes.
Like, yeah, like you have to give Dwayne, forget The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, he's going all in. You got to give him credit. Like, he was on SmackDown. He's going to be on three Fridays in a row. I thought he was going to just like come in once or twice and be done. Well, right now, the way it's set up now is the first night of WrestleMania is supposed to be Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins against The Rock and Roman Reigns. And there's all these stipulations, like if Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins win, then Roman Reigns can't have any help at ringside for the next night at the main event. Roman and Rock win, then the bloodline's allowed to be there, blah, blah, blah. It's all, but everyone's expecting The Rock to turn on Roman on night two and help Cody win the belt. That's like the big thing that's going on. But The Rock is showing up on all these SmackDowns. I didn't think it was, you know, he'd be that prominent in it, so good for them. I would love to get Cody on this podcast. Hopefully, if he wins, I could get him after, but we'll see what happens.
He's had him already, right? Have you had him?
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah, a couple of times. I love the guy. That's why I'm a Cody crybaby. That's what The Rock calls the people who root for Cody. I love it. One thing about actual sports, I bet you agree with me on this. We didn't talk about it, but I know you're gonna. There are a few things I can get into less than the NFL Combine. Oh, my God. All weekend on Twitter. Here's what I'll say about the NFL Combine. And maybe this is just a very ignorant statement, and that's fine. I don't, you know, I'm not going to say, like, this is coming from a place of intelligence. Go look at Tom Brady's Combine photo, and go look at what he ran in the 40 at the Combine. And then tell me why I'm supposed to care about the Combine. He's the greatest quarterback who ever played the game. Like, I don't get it. And then, like, they were going crazy because some guy broke the all-time record for the 40. Yeah. And they go, and then the record he broke was some guy who's not even a good, like, I'm like, well, who cares about this? The guy's record, he didn't break a record from, like, you know,
Christian McCaffrey
or Randy Moss or, you know, Justin Jefferson.
If anything, it highlights how irrelevant it is.
Like, but it's not irrelevant. I mean, people go crazy.
Look at the list of fastest 40 times. How many guys actually made the league? So
yeah, it's bizarre to me that people put so much stock into it.
I can't get into it all. I get why people look football. I mean, the Football Network and football fans are starved for content. Maybe they get into it. Me personally, it does nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be into the draft, but like the combine. Right. I think it was a little bit after we finished taping last week that the news of Richard Lewis passing broke, so we didn't touch on it last week. And I will say, after the news came out that Richard Lewis passed away, I went and for 2 days, all I did was watch YouTube videos of him on Curb. And I have to say, and I'm not proud of this, I underestimated how good he was on Curb and how many like, I always knew he was good on Curb. Like, if you said to me, Richard Lewis, I'm like, great on Curb. Like, it would be right there. But I didn't realize, especially in those early seasons, I mean, him and Larry arguing about, you know, who's going to pay at lunch. Him and Larry arguing, you know, there's a great scene where Richard's girlfriend wants to get breast reduction. There's a great scene, you know, Larry insults Richard's girl. I mean, just one scene after another of him and Larry. So, you know, the tribute, the reaction on social media to his passing was pretty strong, but I actually underestimated how good he was on that show.
Even as a young fan or whatever, like not just the Curb stuff, and I love the Curb stuff, he was a guy who always stuck out to me. And I don't remember if it was just because of his hair or because of the way that he moved on stage or whatever, but I always was a fan of his. Maybe not like the biggest fan, but I was always a fan of his, always was aware of who he was, and loved to see him in that setting on Curb all those years. It's a great idea. I want to go back and watch those.
Did you watch this week's Curb?
No, I'm behind. I'm one behind. Yeah, so, usually it takes me a little while to catch up.
I won't give you a spoiler, but he's on it. And it was he was on this past week's episode, and it was the first time where you can see there were health issues. Like, in the past, he's looked older and maybe a little more frail, but just his face, it was, you could tell something was going on.
Wait, so wasn't he already on the season though?
Yeah. But yeah, for some reason this past week, go ahead.
I thought I read that he was only on one episode, but then that's wrong because he was on already and now you're saying he was on the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. So I want to see more of him.
I wish you watched it because I did not like this week's episode at all. So we'll see
hard to evaluate though for me, episode by episode. Some are good, some whatever, but it's the season I like evaluating, the season as a whole.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't laugh that much. Usually I laugh out loud a few times. So last week I told you about my buddy who put $7 on a parlay and won $11,000.
Yes, he got in trouble with his wife. What happened?
No, he didn't get in trouble. He was debating. He told her, but then brought a conversation to a group chat about whether he should tell her. And then as soon as he told her, he had to buy a refrigerator. So I wanted to let you know and the people who listened to that segment last week that I got a text from him this morning. The refrigerator was delivered today. So dude. I said, every time you open that fridge, you're going to think of like losing your parlay winnings.
Every time you open the fridge, you should be reminded not to open your mouth when you win a big bet like that. Come on.
I think most people I think the amount, 11,000, I think most people tell their wives, but
yes, you tell them 6,000. That's a lot. Or 5,000. Honey, I won $6,000. So it's not so obvious. Honey, I won $6,000. She's like, oh my God, that's great. Meanwhile, you got a stash of five for yourself. You give her two or three and you're a hero. What do we need? A fridge? Sure, here you go.
Well, listen, I'm sure as anyone who wagers would agree, you're much better off telling them about the wins than the losses.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
all right, last thing before I let you go, the house. We have closed on the house, correct?
Do you believe in miracles? Yes, we finally closed. It is done. I can't believe it. Now, obviously, all new stresses come into play, but it's over. That's it. It's done. We still haven't moved out yet. End of the month, we have a scheduled move out to move into the new place, you know, and then whatever full crap follows there, changing over everything to New Jersey from New York. But yes, we found the house. Thank goodness. It worked out. Knock on wood, it all worked out. That's it.
I can't wait to see how long it takes you to get settled. Get your internet, get your cable, get your setup.
I'm on top of it.
Get your commute.
The cable lady, I talked to her the other day. She's like, wow, you're not moving until a month. I go, I need to get on top of this. I want you there the day that I'm in. I need the guy there. And she's I want the hardwired internet in the office, in the main room. Let's go. TV's loaded up. Let's go.
It's too funny.
No laughs.
Funny.
Yeah.
I think when I took off 2 weeks ago, someone sent a tweet and they're like, did you take off because Sal found a house? Now you guys have nothing to talk about. See, that's what I'm saying. There's good tweets out there. There's good tweets out there.
I know. But. Yeah, I read them in your feed. Your tweets are fine. I can't read my own.
Oh, that's too funny. Yeah. Well, again, if you send me a tweet knocking stuff I like, it's over. Yeah. Someone actually sent a tweet. I had sent out like a Richard Lewis video, and someone's like, I never heard of this guy. I muted him.
I mean, come on. Just don't comment.
Exactly.
Why does everybody got to have to, they feel the need to, don't force it. If it's not there, don't force it. God.
Listen, and I like people busting my balls, but you got to do it in a good way.
Right. Know? Right. Not trying to be a jerk and they think that that's going to go over well.
Yeah. I love muting people. All right. Sal, the house, I guess the next update will be like when you move in. So we've got it all settled. Everyone can calm down.
Make sure you tell Schrager, house is all good to go. We got everything. I know he was worried about it.
I'll let Schrager know amongst other things. All right, Sal. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
Take it easy. All right. All right. My many, many thanks to Bob Lee. Can't tell you how much I enjoyed that conversation. Such really phenomenal wisdom there by Bob on the state of media and also great stuff remembering Chris Mortensen. So appreciate Bob coming on this week and doing that. My thanks to my buddy Sal Licata. If you're not a subscriber, subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. If you missed last week's show with Greg Giannotti from the Boomer and Geo show on WFAN and CBS Sports Radio, give that a listen. And any reviews you can leave on Apple would be appreciated. All right. That wraps it up for this week. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.